better late than never. Kind of depends on the situation, I guess, but normally better late than never. This is the news, according to me. Well, good. Still morning. It's still morning. Good morning. It is 10:47 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am in Atlanta, Georgia right now. And it is currently Monday morning, December 5th, I believe. Is that correct? I believe it's the 5th all day today. Monday, 2022. And obviously there was no show on Friday. I got a little bit busy with some things on Friday that ended up being, I'm gonna try to get a show in on Friday morning. That just didn't happen. Got in late Thursday night and just didn't have the moxie. I don't even know what moxie is. I didn't have it. I don't know. Just didn't have the wherewithal to get things done. I had to depart out of Duluth in the morning on Friday, and I was home Friday evening. But it was a bit busy day. Busy couple of days. I ended up, I'm now in Atlanta right now, Atlanta, Georgia. Interesting time to be down here with the runoffs between Warnock and Walker, the W's. So it's going to be raining down here. It's raining down here now. It's supposed to be raining tomorrow as well. Not quite as much, but it's supposed to be raining tomorrow, which supposedly affects the voter day turnout, which they're hoping that doesn't affect Walker, as most Republicans, most conservatives vote on election day. Very few of them do anything. Now, that's the mail-in ballot voting. It's questionable whether people actually vote with mail-in ballots or if that's just easier for the Dems to go out and harvest ballots. If that's the way the game's going to be played, that's the way we're going to start doing it. And Sean Hannity has been making this case for the last couple weeks. And every day on his show, he says something about it. I listened to him for 10 minutes, and he says something about it. And then he starts repeating himself, and I've heard his whole show. You can listen to his show in about 20 minutes. You've heard the whole show. The other day, I heard him talking for about 5 minutes, and then realized he hadn't actually had a guest on that was waiting for him to shut up so they could make some comments. And then, of course, then it was time to say goodbye to the guest. It was one of those ridiculous things, but I digress. He's a popular guy. He's got a big show and makes a lot more money than I do doing this. So I assume he's doing something right. I just don't really care for the style that he has necessarily. But I have no style, which is how I move. That's how I rotate. That's how I roll. That's how I something. I don't know what the kids are saying now. Interesting things happening right now. The whole Twitter thing is just blowing up right now with the Democrats. And I think there was some motivation by Ilhan to go after the Democrat Party here because it was the Democrat Party. It was Joe Biden recently who said, well, with concern to some of Elon Musk's foreign business deals, I think that it's worth looking into. He's worth looking into. That was a dog whistle to let the DOJ know that they can pursue, which they already are. They already started. As soon as he took over Twitter, they started filing all kinds of investigations into Elon Musk. Now, all of a sudden, he used to be the darling of the left. And of course, he's not left or right necessarily. He has voted Democrat almost all of his life. But now all of a sudden he's realizing the Democrat Party is off the rails. I believe he's one of those people who believes in social structures and social programs. However, all this woke stuff and the ridiculousness of reality, living outside of reality or trying to create a new utopian society, he lives in the real world. He does do business with other countries, as does every car manufacturer on the planet. Let alone what he's doing out off the planet with his, rocket launching and everything else he's doing. And now the social media communication, satellite launching, all the other things that he's doing. How he has time to tweet anything, I don't know. It's amazing. There's always downtime. The guy, of course, he's doing stuff 24/7. But he's lit a storm here with this whole thing. And I believe, I really do believe that it's because of the threats that he was receiving from the Democrat Party and the way they were treating him and say, oh, we're going to look into his business dealings. One man shouldn't have this much power. And yet it's okay for the government to have that much power, one man in the government to have that much power. But, well, he's elected. Yeah. So we have an interesting thing brewing here. Now, I'm concerned about Elon's security. I don't know anything about his family life. I know nothing about anything else. The guy's not perfect. He's got his issues and some things I'm sure I wouldn't agree with in his life. However, I am concerned about the guy. I'm concerned about attempts on his life, on his if he has family, whatever he's got, that someone could be kidnapped and held ransom and all the other things that can happen, and it's the security of his company. And apparently, he's talked to Apple and some other, and AWS, I guess, the Amazon Web Services, I guess he's talked to them, and they all of a sudden have decided to play nice. So I'm assuming that he has something up his sleeve or in his pocket that he said, basically, you make this move, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to do this. He's got a network already built. He's with his satellite communications and everything else he has, he would not have to kowtow to those people for very long. Like I've always said, this guy must have an incredible team around him. Incredible team. He's not doing all this stuff. There's people around him that are that he's giving direction to and that he's working with, and the team that he's working with. You don't hear people, people at Amazon, you hear people who work for Amazon complain all the time about working conditions and how hard they work you and that kind of thing. I have not heard any kind of a mutiny at all from the Tesla Corporation nor the SpaceX. Is that what he's got? Yeah, I think that's the one he's got. That's one of them. Whatever it is, Starlink and all that stuff. So he has incredible people working for the guy. I'm assuming they're being treated very well. I know he demands hard work from them. There's no question about that. He does demand hard work from people. I know he also works very hard himself, but at the same time, he must be compensating people very well for that, because you just don't hear people, the squeaky, the wheel's not very squeaky over there. So things must be going well with the workforce there. I don't even think anything's union there. In fact, I think the union tried to get into the car manufacturing division, and I guess they were summarily booted out. Like there was nobody there that wanted to be in a union. It's incredible management skills and leadership skills, and it's not doesn't necessarily mean that Elon has them. It means that he has people around him that are able to lead and do things in remarkable ways, in my opinion. But that being said, I hope I'm not messing up. I'm recording this on my phone this morning, because while I have my phone here, I also have my cup, which is important. I know everybody's been sitting around waiting with bated breath to know what is in my cup this morning. So I'm just going to tell you. I'll tell you what's in my cup. I went to McDonald's this morning, which is not the best place to go, but it's pouring down rain here, and it comes and goes a little bit, but as I walked out the door, it was pouring down rain. I was going to walk down a few blocks and go to a regular restaurant to eat some breakfast, and I decided to go to McDonald's because it's a little shorter, a little bit closer, and I knew it wouldn't be very busy. I could be in and out of there pretty quickly, and it was 15 minutes, went in, ate, and was out in 15 minutes. And then walked back over here to the hotel. And it would have taken a lot longer to do that with any place else around here. So I ended up with a sweet tea here with a McDonald's sweet tea. And I also have I still have some Arby's sweet tea left, as well as some sweet tea that I brought from home. So I'm well stocked on sweet tea here for the next 2 days, today and tomorrow. I'll be going home tomorrow night. So all that'll be drank before I get home, probably. Also have a backup here with a bottle of water, because, you know, I'm trying to be healthy. Yeah. So interesting stuff going on with this whole Elon Musk thing, and its connections. Now, you've also, at the same time, this is kind of overshadowing what's happening here with this Freed kid. He's in his 30s. I call him a kid. He's this Bankman guy. The guy that was dealing with SPX or FPX or whatever it was, and FTT or whatever it is. SPX. I don't know what it is. The scandal that's brewing there as well, and the things that are happening now. There are people now on this committee to call him in to Congress and talk to him. Almost everyone on that committee, almost everyone. Not everyone, but almost everyone. Believe it or not, Maxine Waters is one person who's on there. She has been basically almost practically on the payroll of SPX or FPX or whatever it is, of this guy's company. Even though she verbally will talk about how she is opposed to cryptocurrency, she actually is heavily involved with cryptocurrency with this guy and all of everything he does. She received a huge amount of funding. Now, see, they do this, they play this trick on people. So the company itself was donating funds to the Democrat Party directly. Then you have another person in the company. This is a game that they play, that donated some money to Republican candidates. The amount that they donated to Democrat candidates was over 10 times more. It was a ridiculous amount more. It was like $5 million. It'd be like, okay, we're going to give $50 million to Republican candidates. And of course, they would pick candidates that they're very strategic about the way they pick those candidates. But they would pick candidates that basically was throwaway money, I'm going to call it that, or candidates that were loosey-goosey in the Republican Party, people like Romney, those kinds of people. So that money was floating around out there in the Republican side. Then they give the real donations go to people in the Democrat Party. And that way they can say, and this was actually spoken, it actually unfolded before our eyes, I think it was Maxine Waters was up on the House floor or someplace making a speech saying that, this isn't about Republicans or Democrats because they gave money to both parties. There were people from both parties that received, you know, funding. Okay, so there's corruption in both parties. That's not the point, Maxine. We don't care about the parties. We care about who's corrupt here, and you're one of them. You're one of the biggest ones, and she's one of the biggest ones coming out in defense of this guy. So this is tied to the Democrat Party as well, to actual candidates, to directly to individual candidates, as well as to Democrat causes within the Democrat Party. So there's different caucuses and PAC groups and organizations that, of course, you can't see those donations in the PAC groups. It's probably a lot more money going to those places. Now, supposedly, Freed was supposed to be in front of Congress either today or tomorrow, but however, I think it was tomorrow, however, he's, because he's left the Bahamas, but now he's saying that it may take him, he needs a couple more days to work through some things before he comes before Congress. This is going to be a shadow show. There's not going to be anything. They're going to ask him questions. He's not going to answer certain things. He's going to have all these excuses and talk. You know, he's going to run the clock, give word salad, talk about how, well, you know, we made mistakes. There were people in the company that apparently I didn't know some certain things were going on. And you know, it's not his fault, basically, is what he's going to say. He'll take responsibility for it. Well, this is what he's been working this up on a lot of talk shows recently, because there was, I think it was the New York Post or New York Times or somebody did an interview with him, and they came up with this whole thing, allowed him to kind of speak his mind. Maxine Waters, I think, was one who came on and said, we're so glad that he's coming out and being transparent about this whole thing, and he's working with us in the process of what happened. This guy was a charlatan from day one. He was a scam artist. It's worse than a Ponzi scheme. And he broke banking laws, all kinds of things that this guy did. They're not, you know, if he got in this country, in my opinion, he should be arrested as soon as his foot sets foot on the earth here, on the planet, on the country. Yeah, it's our planet here. So, yeah, the guy, he's no good. Now, at the same time all this stuff is going on, the Republicans now are calling for some hearings where they're going to call these 50 former intelligence agents and heads of intelligence agencies who were claiming that the Hunter laptop issue was had the earmarks of a Russian operation, Russian campaign, Russian disinformation campaign, had all the earmarks. Now, they were very careful in the way they crafted that statement in that letter that they sent. First of all, they never defined what the earmarks were. They never gave a list. Here's all the earmarks. Here's Exhibit A, Exhibit B. What these earmarks are and why we're saying it has all the earmarks. Was it encrypted information behind the emails? Was it information within the email itself? Was it the kind of information, the way things were spelled? They didn't give any information about that kind of thing. Nothing. Just, this has all the earmarks of a Russian operation. Well, that's convenient the way they would say that way. They never came out and said it was a Russian plot. They just said it had all the earmarks. This is how they're going to get away with saying that they didn't lie. One individual was already called before Congress. It was a Republican-led congressional hearing. And that's exactly what he did. He shifted blame, and the whole time he sat there and continued to say it has all the earmarks. It's not a lie to say it has all the earmarks. Well, who put the earmarks there? And what are the earmarks? And how are you defining this? It wouldn't give any answers to that, those kinds of things. Well, that's, you know, we're giving away sources and methods when they say that kind of thing. Oh, we can't give away sources and methods. You're lying through your teeth. That's what you're doing. There was never any understanding of this. They knew from the very beginning that the Hunter Biden laptop was real, and it does involve and implicate Joe Biden, who was receiving foreign business funds through proxies and everything else. And we got lied to the entire time. The Federal Bureau of Investigation knew that this thing was not a Russian disinformation campaign. They knew it the whole time. Then the Democrat Party was working with Twitter and who knows how many other social... Well, actually, Zuckerberg has come out and said that he talked directly to... they came to him and talked to him about the Russian laptop conspiracy theory thing. And so they downplayed it and dialed it back. They changed the algorithms to have those things less prominent, to throttle them back. And anybody who was out there saying anything about it. The same thing happened with Twitter. And they had now what's amazing to me is how they've got these emails. There must have been people within Twitter who were preserving some of this stuff, because you know on the way out the door it was scorched earth out there. Another thing that amazes me kind of about Elon Musk and the way he maneuvered into his position there at Twitter, I would think that on the way out, there was such a large majority of people there who were leftist radicals. We're talking over 75 to 80% of the people in that organization were probably leftist, extreme leftists. Now, I don't know how compartmentalized it was and how much control individuals had, but I would think on their way out the door that they would have been covering all kinds of tracks. But they have obtained these communications, emails, and that kind of thing, messages that were being done corporately behind the scenes between the staff and the DNC. And it is very damning on their part. It is a very bad situation on their part, in my opinion. Now, it will not get any news play. This will not get headline. You will not see this on CNN. You will not see this on MSNBC. They'll still, if they bring it up at all, it's going to be some kind of, well, it's a conspiracy theory. There's no connection. Who cares about Hunter Biden? There's no connection with Joe Biden. They will continue to put this off. Now, I believe that by the time the Republicans get into office, we will see what happens here. But I don't think that Elon's going to let up on this. In fact, there's more coming out, from what I understand. More information soon to come, today or tomorrow. It is a big, McCarthy supposedly is getting behind this and saying that the Twitter censorship is the tip of the iceberg is what they're saying now. I think that's what his statement was. So these things are, who knows how far they're going to go with this, but I think that they are going to draw the lines and connect the dots and end up in an impeachment session. Now, of course, here we go again with another impeachment session from the House that will not end well in the Senate, because I don't believe they're going to have control of the Senate. It really comes down to this Herschel Walker election. If Herschel Walker wins tomorrow, and I'm not very hopeful about it, only because of I didn't realize that the runoff election was going to have early voting and mail-in voting the way it is. We have got to fix this problem in this country, because this is outrageous. It's the Democrats, when they say we're on the ground and we got it, we're mobilized. Yeah, they're on the ground harvesting ballots from people who wouldn't otherwise vote or don't even know that they're voting. This mail-in ballot thing is ripe and riddled with corruption. And it is absolutely, maybe it's not illegal necessarily what they're doing. In most cases it is, the way they're doing it, it's illegal. But the mail-in ballots themselves are not illegal maybe, but the way they're going about getting them into the system is illegal. They're going out and harvesting these things. They're helping people fill the ballots out and then transporting the ballots for them. Highly illegal stuff. All been determined by quite a few states like Pennsylvania and I believe Wisconsin. Their state Supreme Courts have determined that laws were broken by the powers that be during the COVID election of 2020. If you add up everything that happened during that election in terms of the social media influence, the ballot harvesting that took place, and the other misinformation and throttling and censorship that was going on, all of those things that were happening, if you took all that out of the equation, Donald Trump wins in a landslide. But they're saying that there was no widespread voter fraud or influencing of elections. Well, there absolutely was. This is like saying that the recession isn't a recession. They just come out and just deny it. It's like, okay, so the sky's not blue. No, it's not blue. It's not blue. It's not even gray. It's not blue or gray. It's a figment of your imagination. And the media stands up with that. They have enough legacy media on their side. Not that anybody watches hardly any of it, but apparently they have enough of it out there to keep the everybody placated in this thing. Now, I believe that there's more and more people starting to watch alternative media, which is starting to come around. There are socialists. There are people who are very left-leaning individuals who are not liking this stuff at all. They want the truth. They don't, they just want to know the truth. In fact, this group, channel on YouTube, it's called Redacted. They continue to go after the Democrats and the Democrat Party and those on the left and the way they're lying about things. Now, they're not speaking highly of any Republicans. They won't go down that road, because they are liberal. Now, I have no problem with liberal in the traditional sense, in terms of wanting people to be liberated and free. However, they continue to expose things that are happening on the left and the things that are happening within the government and the corruptions that's there. How you can continue to align yourself with a party like that? That's the incredibly strange thing to me. It's how you can, I've seen a lot of, not a lot, but I've seen several left-wing people. Jimmy Dore, for example, he will not even go on MSNBC or CNN anymore. He's considered a he's considered a left-leaning liberal individual. He's a quasi-comedian, political comedian type of person. He has his own show on YouTube. He does traveling around, does shows, live shows with his team. And he is, again, he's calling out the left, the Democrats, and how corrupt they are. And I don't agree with some of his social ideas. I do agree that we need to, for instance, health care. If you want to talk about healthcare in general in the United States, he believes the government should have there should be a government healthcare system. Now, I'm one who would say yes. We need to have what I would like to see is a country where everyone has a job and can afford their own healthcare, and still have a decent living and have the freedom to do what they want to do and be able to afford health care. I think that's a goal that everyone would like to see. But I'd like to see everyone be able to choose their health care, to afford the health care plan that they want to have, but not necessarily to have the government take care of that for them. There's got to be a way to do this and work it out. Whereas there are those individuals who think that the government just needs to be centralized. A single-payer system, government-controlled. When was the last time you saw the government? Here we are, you know, this guy is going after the government, talking about all the corruption and all the things that are going wrong with the government, and yet you want to give the government more centralized control. And now, what their theory on this is that you would be able to somehow hold the government accountable, like with the People's Party or whatever you're going to do, that somehow that would be a way to control what they do and keep the corruption out of it, hold them to account. Well, that doesn't work. Government itself is corrupt. I mean, businesses are corrupt enough, but when people find out about the corruption at a business, you can stop doing business with them and move on to another company. You can't do that with your government. It's not easy to throw that government off, cast that government off, like the founders said that, you know, in such times as that, it's the right of the people to cast off such government and institute those principles once again. And that's my paraphrase of the founding fathers. So we hold these truths to be self-evident. That whole statement goes into that whole speech about that. Now, having said that, H.A. Goodman was an individual who was a total Bernie supporter, probably the biggest supporter of Bernie Sanders on the internet. In fact, he actually had articles written about him being the biggest Bernie supporter on the internet. He was being interviewed by MSNBC and CNN. He through that whole process of seeing what happened there, reporting the truth and seeing what they did to Bernie Sanders and seeing what the Democrat Party, how evil and corrupt it was, how evil and corrupt Hillary Clinton was, he became a Trump supporter, and now he is a staunch conservative. With regard to most political issues, he's you know, there's still this issue of how do we take care of some of the social programs. I think if we can get things down to where we just have those arguments of everybody on the left and right want to see everybody have the proper health care. Nobody wants to see anybody not being taken care of. Nobody wants to see grandma or grandpa suffering with medical issues. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants people to go hungry, be uneducated. Any of that. We don't want that for anybody. Not a single human being on this planet do I want to see have that issue. And you have the right to education. You have the right to health care. The question is, do you have the right to make someone else pay for that for you? That's the real question there. And I think somehow we need to provide a system that works without burdening individuals who have either paid their own way and they already paid to not have to pay for someone else's stuff. There's got to be a way to do this. We've got a lot of creative people in this country. There's probably people with already good ideas and ways to do this. I mean, infrastructure is always, in fact, I can think of some ways of doing it right now in my head. I'm not going to get into the details, but it's ridiculous to think that we can't make something like this happen in this country. Now, without burdening just the public in general with taxes and more taxation. The government, when they tax things, they never, money never gets where it's supposed to go anyway. It's a very inefficient way to move funds around and to take care of people. It costs a lot more for the government to come take my money away and give it to someone in a social program than it does for me to go directly to that person and give it to them directly. But there are cases now, especially in California. I think there's some areas in California, LA County, I think. You cannot give, you can get arrested, ticketed for giving food to homeless individuals. Because they have social programs for that. You can't go out there and start feeding homeless people. See, how ridiculous is that? Of course, the other side is, well, you're encouraging them. Well, that's what every social program does. It encourages people to stay where they are. All of a sudden, I think it was the Netherlands or someplace. John Stossel did a really good expose on this recently, a little documentary, mini documentary, talking about how there's this country that had like a 5-year long safety net, and people would stay in unemployment for 5 years. Well, they reduced it down to 3 years, and people, strangely enough, would find themselves finding jobs after 3 years. So they reduced it down to a year and a half. I think now it's 9 months. And strangely enough, people are working more than ever. We have a labor shortage in this country. They're literally, restaurants are sometimes closed when they're not supposed to be because they don't have enough workers. And yet a guy walked past homeless people who are begging for money out on the street. And you just, you know, there's a job right there, right? Literally, there's a now hiring sign right there. They would probably pay you to go in there and start just passing out French fries. But they don't make that much money. This morning when I was in McDonald's, for example, rather alarming, almost. A man pulled his wallet out, obviously a homeless individual. I don't know what the guy's situation is. I don't know what he's got, what kind of obligations he has. I don't know where he got his money. He pulled out his wallet. He was trying to retuck his money back into his wallet. I have not seen that many $120 bills on a single individual since I've been to the bank. His wallet was absolutely stuffed with $100 bills and $20 bills. And I think there was a few singles and some tens there. He laid it all out on the table and was trying to pack it all back into his wallet with the way it was almost exploding with all the money that was in there. Cash. I'm assuming he got that from pandering. I'm assuming. Maybe not. I don't know. But that's a lot of cash to be carrying around, especially out here on the street in this area. And then to take it all out on the table like that, and it took him quite a while to get it all organized and get it put back into his wallet. It was astounding. So, with that being said, I don't know the guy's situation. I'm not saying all homeless people have that kind of cash they're walking around with it. Not at all. That's not the case. All I know is there's a lot of them out here. Every time I go walking somewhere, it's almost always someone asking for something or trying to approach me. And it's off the charts. Now, having said all of that, we also have some other things brewing right now with the connections that are happening with China. Apple and China and everything that's going on there with the protests. We have politicians now that are coming out and saying, oh, they support the Chinese people's right to protest, to peaceful protest and all that kind of stuff. These are the very same people, very exact same people who were locking their states down, locking their countries down. They were all about lockdowns. But this is even worse. This is worse than what we did. No. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this shakes out in the next week. I believe that this week, with whatever happens with the Herschel Walker race, we should know something by Wednesday, maybe. I'm sure Tuesday night they'll be calling the election or trying to call the election. If Warnock is anywhere close to winning, they will be calling the election. And, of course, they'll go through this whole process of all the stuff that's happening. Now, I believe that Joe Biden, he hasn't come out and announced yet whether or not he's going to run or not, but the family, I know, wants him to stay in there. They love this high life of being, the princesses, the Americans, America's royalty, the treatment that they're getting and all the stuff that they want to keep that cash wheel going. But I don't know if the Democrat Party is going to allow it. And of course, Kamala Harris is not well-liked in the Democrat Party right now either. So this is going to be a very interesting, now it's not as much about the individual and their platform and what they stand for. It is all about the party itself. They don't care who the placeholder is, the figurehead. They just want their agenda is what's important. And whoever's put into that position, an empty suit, they can just fulfill their agenda. That's all they care about at this point. And it's kind of that way on the right as well, but not quite as predominantly that way. Unfortunately, our government has become, is no longer necessarily trying to protect individual rights. They're just trying to establish collective rights and collective groups, which is extremely, extremely dangerous. Collectivism in all of its forms, Marxism, socialism, communism, is extremely, extremely dangerous when it comes to people being in charge of it and running the show. There are some issues with individualism as well. You always run the risk of certain things happening with individuals but they have a tendency to work themselves out. The issues have a tendency to work themselves out. People who make a lot of money in the system by gaming it, by doing their thing, typically within three generations, that money is gone, typically. Wealth transfers to somewhere else, and the next thing comes along. Someone else makes an invention and turns it loose from there, and the generation, those family, that family generation. I used to fly a jet, corporate jet, and there was a family that owned the jet. And the family that started the business that actually, owned all this stuff, they owned a company that was major, Fortune 500 company. We didn't fly them around. There was actually the one matriarch was still there. The grandfather, great-grandfather of the group was gone. He had passed away. He sold the company out to a bigger company at one point and kept a lot of stock options. And that company is still very affluent to this day. So that these stock options are worth a lot of money. There's still a lot of income coming from it. This guy's children now kind of manage the show. In fact, I think they're probably getting up to their, there's maybe one of them left, maybe. I think probably one of them has passed away. But there was a daughter and a son they had. So they had a lot of, those were their kids, and they had great grandkids. And then they had great grandkids. The grandkids were already pretty much lost on life. They were going from one thing to the next, trying to do different things, and they were just really confused and kind of lost in life. Didn't know what they were, they were just, it was a mess. Of course, any place they wanted to go, the jet would come pick them up and they just go wherever they want. They never had to get on a commercial airline. Their great grandkids, I'm going to call them that, would have been, are probably going to have as much of a mess. They're probably not going to really see the wealth throughout their entire lifetime by the time they get into their, adult life, adult years. They're not going to be hurting for funds. but they're not going to experience what anything like what their parents or their grandparents did. It's going to be a very different life for them. As far as more of them, it has to be spread around to more people. That wealth goes away because people mismanage them, or they don't do what their ancestors did. They're living off of that. They're coasting on that process. There are some families who have done some amazing things with their wealth. The Carnegie Foundation, there's some other foundations like that that made huge amounts of money in their lives and had incredible business sense, established foundations, and those foundations then took care, and they're ongoing for however long they can be managed, and those foundations then are the family is kind of taken care of through that foundation basically. That's the way to do it, but that it takes some trust in individuals to manage it properly and that kind of thing, and some established bylaws within the organization. And all those things have to be taken care of properly, and that's not cheap. So there has to be some serious wealth there in order for those things to be managed properly and not for somebody to come in and mess it up. But it can be done. It can be done. So it'd be interesting to see how Elon Musk transfers his wealth onto the next generation, or how he handles that kind of thing. I'm sure there's going to be a foundation involved in that, his process as well. But that being said, interesting times that we're living in now. I want to get on to, this is more the conspiratorial nature of some things, that you might want to call it that. Home Depot just put out a little, and this is not just Home Depot, there's other companies doing this now. But this is where we're heading, just to give you an idea. They now have cameras in their parking lots. Some regions, Home Depots, have cameras in their parking lots. In those parking lots, within those cameras, within that system, there is a software system that they're testing. It's been used by law enforcement for quite some time. It is license plate recognition, license plate identification. They have all kinds of things within the store to prevent people from stealing things. And one of the things that they do is they have a way to track you if they believe that you were walked out the door with something that you should not have, that you didn't pay for. And they have ways of tracking you after the fact. So they're trying to crack down on this theft thing. Now, it's scary enough when law enforcement does this, when law enforcement goes into this realm of, you have the kind of the nanny state kind of effect where they drive through a parking lot and they record all of the license plates within that parking lot, which they're conducting business on that kind of surveillance on private property. It's public access, but it's private property. And I don't know how they're getting away with this kind of stuff, but they can track down people, stolen cars. We're looking for stolen cars and security. Oh, they're also recording where you were or where your car was. If you think that they're just only picking up on stolen cars, you are sorely mistaken. It is a creepy thing. I was in a state recently where I was sitting in a restaurant and looking out in the parking lot, and I saw it was a Walmart next door, and I saw one of these police cars that was driving through the parking lot. There's cameras all over it, little sensors, all kinds of stuff. It was driving up and down all the aisles, all the rows of parking spaces. This is where we're heading. It's this nanny state. If you don't think that at some point the satellite technology is going to catch up with this, they won't even have to drive the cars through, or there'll be cameras permanently mounted in places where they just have the entire place covered. I guess England is a place in the UK where they have extremely, I think there's more cameras than people there, from what I understand. It is a surveillance state. They have cameras everywhere. The speed cameras, that kind of thing that they get you for in some places where if you, go too fast, the camera catches you and they're going to send you a ticket automatically. Or if you, do something, they're going to send you a ticket automatically. Those are the kinds of things that I think we've got to get away from. But it's inevitable. We got to fight. We got to push back. But like I said, it's inevitable that these things are going to happen. Because they're going to continue to scare people in one way or another to think that that's what we need for security, for safety. We've got to protect ourselves from terrorism. They use those kinds of things all the time. That's what they do. Fear is a big motivator. And they know that in the midst of that fear, in the midst of a crisis, they can convince people to do things that would not otherwise be done. When you have people yelling at you in a store for not wearing a mask, people are getting involved with that. Well, why don't you just stay away from the person? Or isn't your mask good enough? We get these, you know, these virtue signaling individuals who have to stand up and start yelling at you, which is spitting more stuff into the air than the person who's just walking in with their mouth closed trying to buy a bunch of bananas. It's fascinating to me how the mass hysteria can be propagated. And the news media has become very good at doing that. But that's where we are. That's where we are right now. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. I will go about my business. I have some work to do this afternoon. I will be back here tomorrow morning. Hopefully earlier tomorrow morning, actually, because we're going to be done a little bit earlier this evening, which will help me get out of bed earlier tomorrow morning and get things done. So that's the plan, is to have a little bit earlier show tomorrow, and then the rest of the week should be able to have a show every day this week now. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday should be a show. Should be. Can't guarantee anything, of course. I may have to take a trip to Dallas, Texas. I still haven't figured out yet exactly how that's going to happen. I thought I might have to go on Wednesday, Thursday. Just a two-day type thing, just run down to Dallas and come back. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. It may not happen until the next week. Have to see how all this pans out. But next week, I think, is even a tougher time for me to try to squeeze something in. So may not happen that week either. We'll just have to see how this works out. Once again, folks, pray for the nation. Pray for each other. Thanks for listening and subscribing. Appreciate you all. God bless. Have a great day.